time for the Positive Chats podcast. I'm your host, Tommy Briggs, and joining us this morning, Jeff Schott, author of the book, The One Rule Home. Okay, first of all, is it Schott? Am I saying that right?
Yeah, actually, you're saying it correctly, so great job.
All right, that's a rarity for me. So, and he is the author of, like I said, The One Rule Home, Destroy the World's Influence in Your Kid's Life. And so I've got four kids at home from 9 to 18. I'm right in the midst of this.
You got your hands full.
I've got my hands full, yeah. So first of all, tell folks a little bit, because you've been involved in youth ministry and children's ministry for a long time. Tell us a little bit about your background.
You know, started with Campus Crusade straight out of college, and then ran a college ministry for a local church, and actually started this back in 2005, looking at why kids were leaving the faith. And as I followed the research, I followed it from culture shock into the fact that 70-90% of kids were leading dual lives, to then all of a sudden to why were they leading the dual life. It came back to the parent-child relationship and a breakdown in that relationship that was causing the dual life that then set them on the wrong trajectory when they left their houses.
And so what is, you talk about this obviously a lot in your book, what is the dynamic that you see kind of present now? And then we'll use that to lead into that one rule and how you like to see that change. But what are you hearing from kids right now, that dynamic that is, you know, maybe frustrating them or causing them trouble in their homes?
Well, I think, you know, kids have a lot of different things from their perspective that are breaking the relationship with their parents. There's probably the top three are control, trust, and belief. And those are some of the ones that are the hardest for parents, because, you know, we have a lot of reasons to be fearful as parents today, but fear is not a biblical motive, at least according to the Bible. It says, fear not, but revere God. And so fear bends us towards wanting to protect our kids. Mm-hmm. And when we move towards protection, we tend to move towards control. And as kids get older and the changes in the adolescent brain and everything that goes on, it's interesting. There was a national study that actually looked at control and looked at love, and they found what caused people to feel loved, which was the small things, the hugs, the time spent together. But the thing that caused Americans to feel the most unloved was control. And so what we're finding is the kids, when they run into, as they get older, more and more parental fear and control, they are not feeling loved. And they're telling us then that they go seek other things to fill that void, because they used to feel close to their parents, but their parents' expectations and seeming to always fall short then caused them not to feel loved, accepted, not to feel believed in or trusted. And then they've got this hole in their heart they've got to fill, and they fill it with social media. They fill it with video games. They fill it with other friends. And it's not what they want. The cool thing is that they're telling us, I want to be close to my parents. I just can't figure out how.
So what is the one rule? The one rule home. What is the one rule that's going to change everything and make all our houses perfect?
This I hate saying this one rule, because it seems so oversimplified, because we've lost the meaning of this one rule. But it's based upon Jesus' last command to the disciples before he's arrested. You know, he says, if you love me, you'll obey my commands, plural, and you'll remain in my love as I remain in my Father's love. And then he flips it on us later in the passage, in the last teaching time with the disciples. He says, this is my singular command, love one another. This is true love, one who will lay down his life for a friend. And then he repeats it a second time later on in the passage. This is my one command. And that's what he left the disciples with. When I first discovered that after doing all the research and all the biblical study, I was so frustrated, because I'm like, that's just way too simple. You know, my kids will go crazy if I just do that, you know. And so, you know, but then I went into a 9-month study into love. And I was so frustrated after 6 months, I was ready to hang it up. And God woke me up in the middle of the night and he said, I am perfect. I'm like, gee, thanks. I think I knew that already. How does that help with this study? You know, but that message just kept resounding for the next 2 weeks. I am perfect. I am perfect. And there it was. In 1 John, it says God is love. And then in John 1, it talks about, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus is God. And therefore, Jesus is perfect. And so then every, if God is love and Jesus is God and he's perfect, every interaction Jesus had with a person has to be love. And that began the next 3 months of the study, where I looked at Jesus with the woman at the well and the rich young man and the tables at the temple and the adulterous woman and the tax collectors. And I looked at all of these examples, looking at, okay, how was love functioning in this situation? And it totally changed my view of love. And then it started becoming practical with how do I interact? How do I handle my kids' failures? How do I interact with my kids around issues? How do I come to understand my kids? Because Jesus had this amazing advantage where he understood the people he walked up to intimately. He knew their hurts. He knew their thoughts. He knew their hangups. He knew, you know, the number of hairs on their head. And so he could enter these deep conversations and help people evaluate and walk in the light with the real situation in their life very quickly. For us parents, it takes a little longer. We have to spend the time to actually understand our kids. So love is the one rule. It's the only one I can find that I can support biblically. Paul echoes it in Romans 13, where he says, leave no debt outstanding but the debt of love, because if you do that, you'll fulfill the law. You'll fulfill all the commandments. And I test that, and that's true too. All of this is in the book, in a very practical way of how do we begin to interact with our kids differently. Because I've found with my kids, and many parents that have adopted the one rule home have found with their families, that when we start to treat our kids better than the world, our kids look at us and go, I buy you more than the world. And when they say, mom and dad, I buy you more than the world, we don't have to fear the world anymore, because they're basically saying, you treat me better than my friends. You treat me better than the teachers. You treat me better than all of these other influences out there. But when we're constantly in conflict with our kids, when they're constantly feeling like they're disappointing us or we're unhappy with them, they're looking to the world to find some sort of love, acceptance, belief, and trust.
So I guess that's the next question then. So it's a simple concept, like a lot of Christianity. I mean, let's be honest, a lot of Christianity is pretty simple in its concept, a little harder sometimes in its execution, because I hear a lot of parents out there going, but I do love my kids, but they're still running amok. So how do we translate that into practical action? I mean, what are some, you know, obviously I can't cover all of it, but what are some, maybe just some simple practical things that we can do to show that love that we have for our kids? How can we better show that to them?
I think it's, you know, whether it's reading this book or just opening the Bible and looking at Jesus' interactions with sinners, when people were in deep sin or in failure, how he interacted with them was filled with compassion and empathy. It was filled with understanding. And I think the biggest mistake we're making as parents, from talking to 3,000 kids in the research, is that they're feeling like we're unhappy with them, like we're coming down on them, like we're the convicting agent in their life. We have to force them to change. And yet the Bible teaches us that the Holy Spirit sanctifies, that it's a lifelong process, that this side of heaven, we're never going to be perfect. I'm not perfect as a parent now or as a man. And yet the kids are telling us they feel like they have to be perfect around us, and thus they avoid us. So it's a combination of, we have to expect failure and see it as a teaching tool and an opportunity for real growth and long-term learning, as opposed to something that we feel like we need to be mad at them about. And it's that anger, it's that reaction, it's that disappointment that causes our kids to want to hide their weaknesses, their struggles, their doubts, their failures from us.
And
when they start hiding those things, it's a problem. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, you say, and I thought this was really interesting, that since kids can't like assign fault to their parents, they internalize that fault on themselves and say, well, it must be me.
Right. Yeah. Kids normalize their existence because they have no other frame of reference. So this house, the way this house functions is right. It is love. And so when they keep getting hit with the negatives, psychology says we need 6 positives for every 1 negative. In our houses, I find we're often the inverse of that. When they get hit with that and they don't realize that maybe they're not being loved the way Jesus would love them, they, one, start to doubt God, but two, they get really negative about themselves. And when our kids adopt that internal negativity, the average kid I work with has between 8 and 16 negative internal beliefs, deeply held, often at an unconscious level about themselves, and they only have 1 to 2, maybe 3 positive beliefs. And it's that negativity that's causing them to need to escape into the video games, or to escape into the social media, or escape into friends. And so, yes, when they normalize their home and we're not at that place of helping them see our weakness and helping them discover how we've hurt them, that relationship begins to distance. And as it distances, they need to fill the void with something else.
In your book, you talk, there's a number of chapters. I mean, what I like about it is it's almost like it's a book, but it's almost like a study book. It's a guide. So it's real practical with what you've done. So I like the way you've laid it out. And you cover, you start by saying restoring peace and joy, bringing peace and joy to our homes. I don't imagine anybody would ever say, no, I feel like we have too much peace and joy in our home. Yeah, right? I think we could all use more than that. So obviously that's the end goal, right? We would all love, we want joy, we want peace in our homes, we want it to be that. But, okay, so we're not there, right? We want that, that's our end goal. Right now, there's a lot of dissension, there's a lot of arguing, people aren't getting along. As a parent, you're like, well, my kids are already teenagers, is it too late? Where do I start with this as a parent?
Okay, well, one, I want to encourage parents that are in that place. I was there with my oldest daughter. The conflict was high. She blamed the sun, the dog, the wind, the moon to not be wrong. We'd have to debate her for an hour to get her to admit she had done something. It was a nightmare. And so what I want you to realize is we've helped so many families, whether it's through our online course, the book and workbook, or in direct coaching and mentoring and a healing process that we take families through. So I don't want you to give up, because that's the tendency, or the desire is just to say, I give up. And a heart infused with the Holy Spirit may be buried under mountain of failure and expectations. But when we start to help our kids remove that sense of failure and that weight of the expectations, because Jesus said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light, that heart comes roaring back to life. When they believe they can actually please us, that we actually love them, they reconnect to us way faster than parents are impossible. So where do you start? I'd say get the book. And then there's an implementation process that we highly recommend families go through, because parents will read the book and they'll start to make changes, but the kids don't understand why the changes are happening. The kids aren't seeing their parents differently or aren't trusting their parents yet. And so they keep their guard up, and then parents are like, The implementation process is all about helping the kid readopt the parent as their shepherd. And so that they have a desire to follow their parent. And that's the amazing thing of Jesus's love. He had 5,000 chase him around the lake when everyone was trying to, when he was actually trying to take a break and slip away. And today we see 5,000 kids running the opposite way around the lake from their parent. That's what we're trying to change. Because when our kids decide they want to follow us, when they choose to follow us because of how we interact with them, because we love them like Jesus, they encounter the unconditional love of God in our homes, then they'll chase us around the lake. And that's what they really want. They want to be close to us. I don't care if they're 15, 17, 18, 23. I have adults, when I talk about this in events and churches, go, I talk about the inherent desire of our kids to want to please us and be close to us. And there's always an adult that raises their hand and goes, I'm 53 and I'm still trying to figure out how to get my parents to love and accept me. And so that's a hardwired need. When we meet that need, they attach to us and they'll follow us.
And it sounds like a lot of it is as parents kind of shifting our mindset, to catch them doing something right. I remember somebody shared a story, I think it was Bill Walton, shared a story about the great basketball coach, John Wooden. He said, if things were going bad, he would never call a timeout. We might mess up 5, 6, 7 possessions. We'd mess it up. He'd never call a timeout. He'd wait until we did something right. And then he'd call a timeout and say, okay, what'd you do different that time? Right, that idea, you catch them doing something right. Is that kind of that shift in the mentality that's like parents, we kind of get in that discipline mentality. It's like, oh, you're doing wrong. Here's where you're doing wrong. We look for when they're wrong instead of looking for when they're right, and let's emphasize that over the other. Is that part of that shift?
Yeah, that's definitely part of the shift. And I think it's really, how do we see the word discipline? We've come to understand discipline to mean punishment. But when you step back to Jesus's day, you step back and you look at all the uses of the word discipline in the New Testament, not a single one refers to punishment. It talks about teaching, training, upbringing. It's all proactive instead of reactive. And what we've gotten, the mindset of parenting for the last 2,000 years has been very reactive. Our kid does something wrong, we come down on it, right?
Right.
And what we're finding is that when we take a proactive teaching, training, going before model like Jesus did, that's shrouded in love, where the disciples failed and said, teacher, we don't even have the money to pay the taxes in this town, let alone money for food. Jesus didn't come down on them. They walked in the light with him. They were embarrassed by their failure because the Holy Spirit was convicting them. And that's one of the biggest pieces we're missing as part of the book is we haven't been taught to leverage the conviction of the Spirit in parenting. So we feel like we need to play the heavy as opposed to the Holy Spirit doing the convicting, which allows us to remain incredibly close with our kids in spite of their failure.
We're talking with Jeff Schatt. The book is The One Rule Home. And Jeff, tell us about how folks can find out about the book and the other resources that you have that maybe go along with this book.
OneRuleHome.com is our site. The book is available there. If you're looking to listen to it or read it on a Kindle, the best bet is Amazon. But at One Rule Home, you can schedule a consult with me. You can get direct access to my calendar and book a time slot. If you're really struggling, if you've got a kid in crisis, we've worked with suicidal kids. We've worked with kids that are questioning their gender. We've worked with kids that are cutting and have eating disorders. And we, by working with the entire family, have seen amazing changes in a short period of time with kids that have been to 3, 6, 8 different counselors, because we're not just treating the kid off here in a silo. We're working with the entire family and the entire family culture, because that's what Teen Challenge discovered. They take a kid out, bring them out for 6 to 9 months, a year, get them straightened out, send them back into the family, and the family had dynamics hadn't changed, and the kid was quickly back on drugs. So it's not just our kids, it's us. And when love breaks down in our homes, when trust breaks down in our homes, things are going to go wrong. And so we're here to help from the book to the online class, all the way down to working directly through a very biblical, multi-leveled healing process with all the family members to restore the relationships in the home.
So onerulehome.com, that's just the best one spot to go and get all the resources.
That's correct.
Jeff, hey, thank you so much for joining us this morning. It's been fascinating talking with you.
Thank you so much for the time.